Hello, everyone. Welcome to Minghui Radio, bringing you podcasts of stories relating to the persecution of Falun Gong in China, insights and experiences gained by practitioners during the course of their cultivation, special items of interest, and music composed and performed by DAFA practitioners. In today's podcast, we bring you an experience-sharing article from the 9th China Fahui on Minghui.org entitled, Meeting DAFA's Requirements is My Firm Commitment, by a DAFA disciple in Liaoning Province.
Minghui Fahui, Meeting DAFA's Requirements is My Firm Commitment, by a DAFA disciple in Liaoning Province. Greetings, revered master. Greetings, fellow practitioners. Every little bit of my improvement during my years of cultivation would have been impossible without Master's guidance and protection. Words cannot describe Master's greatness and compassion. I will focus on the following four aspects of my experiences to report to Master and share with fellow practitioners. 1. Despite mounting pressure, I work hard to help lost practitioners return to cultivation and form a whole body. After the persecution of Falun Gong began on July 20, 1999, our local cultivation environment quickly deteriorated. Some practitioners stopped practicing because they were unable to bear the sudden pressures, while others left cultivation because they were misled by the evil party's lies. We had people who still considered themselves practitioners, yet they hadn't really acted like one. Some just read DAFA books at home without stepping forward to validate the Fa. There were even people who went around spreading fake Jingwen articles written by Master. I was also sad to see that a few get brainwashed and enlightened along an evil path. Some practitioners were so afraid that they dared not say hello to fellow practitioners they ran into on the street. Without a strong whole body, it is impossible for DAFA disciples to work together assisting Master with Fa rectification and resisting the persecution. I felt an urgency for helping former practitioners to return to the whole body. At that time, almost all determined practitioners in our area were in detention. I was also in a precarious situation. Considering me a primary target, everyone from my workplace to my street committee to the evil government took turns trying to get me to give up my cultivation. As a widow, I had to work and take care of my child all by myself during the day. The only time I had left for DAFA activities was in the evening and on the weekends. Despite the difficulty, I only had one firm thought. We must form one body. I understand that we must walk down the cultivation path with determination, regardless of the obstacles that lie ahead. After all, Master's Fa rectification requires us to form a whole body, and our assisting Master with Fa rectification and resisting the persecution also needs the whole body. I reached out to those who were poisoned by the party's propaganda about Falun Gong. I recited the Fa to them and patiently guided them to think about the whole matter of the persecution from the perspective of the Fa. I mentioned the endless political movements that the evil party launched against different groups of citizens and pointed out that the persecution of Falun Gong was just another such movement. I reminded them of what Master said in Zhuan Falun, quote, "When Sakyamuni was alive, he constantly battled on philosophical points with other religions," end quote, and talked about the fact that Jesus was once nailed on a cross. I tried to help them understand that we are Master's disciples and we must validate and safeguard the Fa when DAFA is being persecuted. My efforts were not in vain, and one after another, my fellow practitioners awakened and returned to cultivation. 2. Fearlessly validate the Fa and work as a whole to save sentient beings. As we gradually formed one body, those detained practitioners began to get released, and they in turn strengthened our whole body. We worked hard to spread the truth about Falun Gong. We hand-wrote posters, handmade truth clarification banners, and made copies of flyers to distribute in the surrounding areas. By early 2000, most practitioners who had once stopped practicing returned to DAFA cultivation. The persecution I experienced, however, intensified at that time. I came to see that these practitioners were just victims being used by the evil party. After sharing thoughts with each other, our local practitioners agreed that going to Beijing to validate the Fa is every disciple's responsibility. A few dozen of us broke through the police interception and managed to arrive in Beijing by train or taxi. A large group of local police followed us to Beijing and soon arrested us. We were taken back and thrown into prison, which caused immediate and tremendous pressure to our newly formed whole body. As a result, many practitioners again dared not come out to clarify the truth for fear of arrest, and some even refused to meet with other fellow practitioners. Quite a few practitioners enlightened along an evil path while in detention, and they helped spread fake Jingwen after their release. 1 year later, more practitioners were thrown into jail. Once more, our local whole body was shattered. After my release, fellow practitioners urged me to immediately resume my coordinating responsibilities. I agreed, but wondered how I could do a good job. My workplace fired me because of my detention, and my child was still in school. Worried about my safety, my family members tried their best to prevent me from going out to engage in DAFA activities. In the meantime, the street committee, the local police station, and the 610 office were all keeping a close eye on me. While getting ready for the Chinese New Year that year, my hands were busy doing all kinds of things, yet my mind was occupied with thinking about forming the whole body. Suddenly, I heard a loud sound and saw the pressure cooker on the stove fly into the air and then land on the floor. The cooker was broken as a result. I knew right away Master was telling me that the pressure I was going to face was enormous, and I must use strong righteous thoughts to deflate the pressure. I recalled that at the beginning of my cultivation, numerous times I said to Master's portrait, with a Dafa book in my hands and tears running down my face, "Master, I must follow you to return to my true home. No matter how many obstacles I may face, I am determined to cultivate all the way to the end." In the fall of 1998, the evil party had already begun its persecution of Falun Gong in certain regions, and one of our local coordinators decided to quit out of fear. So one night, our local Dafa Cultivation Center assistant and a veteran practitioner came to my home to ask me to take over that responsibility of coordination. I wasn't afraid of the persecution, but I preferred to remain low-key instead. I declined their request, and the assistant said, "We just had a meeting at which we considered every possible candidate. We didn't see anyone fit, and that's why we turned to you." I was still hesitant, and the assistant said with tears in his eyes, "Let me tell you one thing. When we were discussing this matter and were troubled at the idea of not having a good candidate, do you know that almost all of us shouted out your name at the same time? Do you think this was just a coincidence?" I agreed to think about the offer. And he said, "How about I give you 2 days to think, and you let us know then?" The next morning, I called him, confirming my willingness to take over. The third day, I went to various group Fa study sites to study the Fa and share experiences with other practitioners. My experience of resisting the persecution in the past few years enabled me to realize that the most powerful method of frightening and eliminating the evil was to expose the evil deeds done by local perpetrators. When I brought up my idea, many practitioners disagreed, fearing it would invite even more retaliation from the evil. I wasn't deterred by their reactions and thought to myself that I must start with myself. As such, I detailed my personal persecution in an article and submitted it to the Mingwei website. After Mingwei published my article, practitioners in another town made nearly 10,000 copies and sent them to us for distribution. I kept up my efforts and wrote about the persecution of other practitioners still in jail. Again, out-of-town practitioners made truth clarification materials for distribution in our area. Such wide dissemination of local perpetrators' evil deeds greatly frightened them. Agents from the 610 office, police departments, and the domestic security office monitored local practitioners day and night, trying to locate the source of such materials. In the meantime, they spread rumors they were going to arrest me, deeply worrying my family and fellow practitioners. Some local practitioners misunderstood me and thought I was being too extreme and too obsessed with validating myself. Some even accused me of destroying our cultivation environment. I calmed down to read Dafa books, and Master hinted to me in my dream that I did the right thing and encouraged me to intensify my efforts to expose the evil. Not long after, Master published an article commenting on my article, and my fellow practitioners all calmed down after reading Master's article. With the help of out-of-town practitioners who were technology experts, we established various materials sites in our area. We kept exposing the local evil and enabled more and more locals to know the truth. During our coordination with each other, we again formed a powerful whole body. 3. Let go of self and harmonize the whole body. As I did more and more coordination work, some local practitioners developed dependency on me and even began to worship me. I myself also felt pretty good about myself. Those practitioners would come to me for anything. I was so overwhelmed that I couldn't catch up with my FOS study and exercises. My cultivation state got worse and worse. 1 year later, I was arrested. After my release, I reflected on myself to identify my problems. I came to see that I had failed to look within all these years and had left loopholes for the evil to exploit. I was extremely sorry for having caused the loss to Dafa and our whole body. I also enlightened to the fact that I must help practitioners to understand the Fa rationally and that they should treat Dafa as master, not me. I needed to help them get rid of their dependency and blind admiration for me. Helping them to do things well and more independently is what Master really wants. I made up my mind to rectify myself and change my old work habit of doing everything myself. I was determined to get more practitioners involved in coordination of the whole body. I made sure to study the Fa well, while at the same time doing my best to train more practitioners in coordination work. I shared my experiences with them and started them on some small-scale coordination work. When they ran into trouble or I saw something wasn't done right, I pointed it out in a timely manner and helped them rectify everything from the standpoint of the Fa. Gradually, they were able to think for themselves about how to resolve conflicts and communicate with each other. I had to admit, the tempering of my heart was extremely painful during this process. In 2009, I was feeling very content that everything was going smoothly when conflicts raised their ugly head. Practitioner A, who was responsible for making materials, and Practitioner B, who was in charge of technology, suddenly had ill thoughts about me, and they both refused to work with me. I asked to talk to them, but they declined. It was a critical time to rescue detained practitioners, yet we didn't talk for more than 1 month. When I looked within, I found many human notions, and the old forces exploited my attachments and created barriers to separate our whole body. I no longer felt a grudge and wrote a letter to each of A and B, apologizing to them. To my surprise, Practitioner B still refused to forgive me after reading my letter. I wasn't mad and instead dug further in to identify more problems. I came to see that my purpose for writing the letter wasn't pure enough. I wanted to show that I was above them and was more tolerant and compassionate than they were. As such, I didn't show real Xinxing improvement. I began to send forth righteous thoughts to eliminate my impure thoughts, as well as the barriers blocking us. 2 weeks later, the two practitioners suddenly showed up at my home to consult with me about rescuing detained practitioners. They also looked within and admitted their own omissions. I was extremely grateful to Master for his compassionate help that enabled me to identify my deviant thoughts one after another. 4. Exert the power of the whole body and completely purge the local evil. In late 2010, whenever I opened Ming Wei's main webpage, I saw comprehensive summaries of evil deeds committed by perpetrators from various places. I realized that Master was hinting for us to do the same thing. When I asked to do a systematic compilation of the evil persecution in our local area, some practitioners were hesitant due to their fear and insufficient understanding of how important it is to expose the evil. Some people were poisoned by the evil and felt that exposing the evil was fighting with the evil. I gathered local coordinators to share our understanding, and we came to realize that following Master's requirement to work together to resist the persecution was assisting Master with Fa rectification and lessening the old force's interference. Exposing the evil was saving sentient beings, not fighting with the evil. They returned to their local areas to share with their practitioners, and soon everyone was in tune. I was responsible for proofreading, compiling, and editing documents, but I was not an expert in writing. Moreover, I had never done such a large-scale editing job. I had no clue of where to start. One day, when I turned on the computer and opened an empty document on the desktop, I saw a line clearly there. Fa rectification requires it, so you should do it well. In that instant, I felt a jolt in my heart, and tears ran down my face. I said to Master in my heart, "Meeting DAFA's requirements is my firm commitment." I no longer worried about my capabilities. I only knew to do my best. However, the old forces kept interfering with me, and I was often interrupted during my compilation work. Fellow practitioners never stopped encouraging me or sending forth righteous thoughts for me. More and more practitioners got involved. Dozens of practitioners wrote down their persecution experiences in detail. With Master's protection and joint efforts from practitioners, we were able to compile the complete persecution facts in our area after more than 1 year. This is my report to Master. Words cannot express my gratitude for Master's grace, and I can only repay Master by cultivating more diligently. Thank you, Master.
Thank you for listening to the Minghui Radio podcast. For more information, including news about the persecution of Falun Gong practitioners in China and experience sharing stories by practitioners around the world, please visit our website at en.minghui.org.